Okay, class, silence for the register. Bacon.
Yes, please.
Baldshaw.
Present.
Language.
Yes.
Ravel. Ravel. Where's Ravel?
Miss, I have a letter from Mrs. Anger.
Do you?
Yes. Dear Miss Mudchild, Matthew will be unable to attend the recording tonight as it's a school night. Season 2, episode 18.
Episode 18.
Welcome to Lug Radio.
I am out of the diary room.
You out of the diary room?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, I'm pleased. So, okay, let's first of all introduce ourselves.
Nice.
You are?
Aid Bolcher.
And you are?
Stuart Langridge.
And I'm Jono Bacon. We are lacking, once again, a small contender who obviously, as you've just heard, it's a school night, so he can't come out and play.
So he can't make it, but he'll hopefully be here. Next time.
Eventually.
Is he going to be at Lug Radio Live?
Yeah. We hope so.
I do believe he's going to show up to Lug Radio Live.
Unless he's got a...
Because this is the last show before Lug Radio. How many days? How many hours?
It's about 10 days from
That's
when we're recording.
240 hours?
It will be 5 days from when this goes out.
When this goes out?
When you're hearing
guys,
this...
Guys, it's on Saturday. Yeah. It's on Saturday.
This Saturday, mate.
This fucking Saturday. Come and see the fucking grotesque spectacle that is Lug Radio Live.
Four large gents will present. Well, three large gents.
Absolutely.
And one small.
If you haven't got your ticket.
One inferior.
If you haven't got your ticket left. That. If you haven't got your ticket yet, then first of all, you've left it a bit fucking late, haven't you?
Yeah.
But secondly, you haven't actually left it a bit late. You can still get tickets and you can get them on the door.
So did
come
you just
along to the
contradict yourself there.
A little bit.
Wow, that's a first, isn't it?
Welcome back, by the way.
Come along. Thank you.
What are we going to talk about anyway?
Venice.
No, we're not going to talk about Venice.
Venice. Your penis in Venice. So, we're going to talk about Fedora Core 4 has been released, and Hell Froze Over, and Debian's been released.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I want to talk about Open Solaris as well.
5 million. Count them. 5 million lines of code.
5 million lines of code.
Proper code as well. C code.
Let's talk to... let's... fucking shut up. Let's talk to Dave Camp about Hula.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That excellent project.
Max on the on x86 boxes and whether Aid cares.
Believe me, Aid doesn't.
And let's of course read out your fantastic letters.
It's your letters. Sending them in.
Keep sending them in. So
let's go.
Shall we get the fucking shit on the foot?
That's not.
That's not a phrase.
Let's go.
Hula!
Hula!
We'd like to talk to someone about Hula.
We would.
Because it has a cool name.
It's cooler with Hula.
So let's talk to Dave Camp.
Yo.
Hi, Dave, you're on Lug Radio.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
Not so bad. How's things?
Pretty good. We have Joe here, Gasman, too.
Oh, hey, fantastic. Cool. Excellent. Yeah. So what you guys been hacking on, then?
Well, right now we're hacking on, like, super secret stuff. It's actually not secret. It's,
Ooh.
We have...
Is it super?
The, it's secret because it's... committing is a pain. But anyway, Joe's working on the new web UI, and I'm working on some back-end stuff related to that. So,
right.
Yeah, we're working on the new web UI that should be in what? Probably 2 weeks.
Yeah. Cool.
Is this
the Hula rule?
Yeah, something like that.
So what kind of stuff is going into this super whizzy Gmail-inspired web interface?
Joe, why don't you go off for a little while? I don't really want to... Well, we have a great spec up on the wiki, the main Hula site's the wiki, and it's got a spec written up by Ryan, who's a member of the Novell design team. And so I'm busy implementing all the different features that he's designed and taking care of the use cases he created.
Right.
Okay. Cool. Excellent. Looking at the you're putting the web UI together, but it also lets you talk to Hula with other applications. Yes, am I right?
Yes, it's strictly web based.
Right. Okay. But I'll be able to bring in if I don't want to use the web UI, that'll be perfectly fine. You've got CalDAV, I think, in there for the CalDAV.
That's actually the back end stuff that I'm working on. This is Dave again. The web interface actually is going to primarily be speaking CalDAV to Hula. The CalDAV stuff's probably going to be in within... Well, I'm going to do the initial check-in probably a week from Friday, so it's coming along pretty well.
Oh, cool. So is the web interface a generic interface on top of a server that works like Hula, or is it very Hula-specific?
Well,
it's probably going to end up being hula specific. It's one of those things that, you know how it is where, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We can, it'll theoretically be mostly CalDAV based, but we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. Although if somebody else were to, we'd probably accept patches.
Yeah, no, fair play, absolutely.
So in terms of actually, obviously, building Hula, it was obviously derived from an existing Nivelle product. How unwieldy has it been creating Hula from this existing product?
It's been kind of interesting. Like, a lot of, you know, the code has been, you know, pretty good overall. There's been a lot of cleanup that's needed to happen and a lot of the sort of boring sanitization of making sure that, you know, everything's fit for public consumption. And, you know, a lot of bugs, a lot of little bugs, nothing really serious creeped in during that amount of time. As far as sort of the social aspects, you know, of trying to get a team that's been working on proprietary software for, you know, years now. Sort of interacting with the community and stuff. That's gone pretty well to some extent. Like a couple, you know, at least one of the engineers there is really good at it. He's fallen right into it, and the other ones are you know, not far behind.
Excellent.
So yeah, I think the biggest issue we're still working on figuring out is how to make it jive with you know, an eventual product from Nivelle. And, you know, so we're currently arguing about that right now.
That makes sense. Talking about the team, have you found that you've got as much buy-in from the community as you like, or lots more buy-in than you were expecting, or...?
I'm pretty happy with, like, the community buy-in. I mean, obviously, I'm not really looking at, you know, buy-in from any sort of statistics percentage, but as far as actual people coming in and contributing, it's been, in, you know, as far as I've... seen pretty good. We have, you know, three or four pretty common or pretty, you know, regular contributors to the project, which, you know, has been pretty good given how, you know, young the project is.
Yeah, definitely.
And
yeah,
then probably four or five semi-regular contributors. And then a lot of people seem to be building and installing it. So
right,
it's pretty
cool.
And
just going back to, we talked about the web interface to the shared calendar.
More and more people will be just jumping all over that. That seems to be the cool, hip thing to do these days. So I'm sure that'll be awesome.
Okay,
yeah, I think
cool.
It's been particularly good considering that we've never made a release or claimed any sort of stability yet.
Wicked. Just going back to the shared calendars thing, can it only be accessed by the web page? Or do things like Sunbird work with it? Will it work with Evolution and stuff like that?
Well, the calendar is going to be accessed through CalDAV. There's going to be a couple ways you're going to want to look at your calendar, right? There's the web interface, obviously, that we've been talking a lot about because we're kind of into
very
that
nice,
right now.
Very nice, yeah.
You're going to be able to use whatever, you know, your typical calendar application is.
Oh, right? Okay, cool.
We want to work with that. And then we also want to make it able to, like, publish events in sort of low-tech, we call it, ways, like, you know, exporting your calendar as, you know, a PDF to print or as a
PostScript
file, as an ICS file, any sorts of, you know, templated sort of, as a flyer is one of our use cases right now.
Right.
That's just pure, you know, static HTML generated for people to come look at, that sort of thing.
Cool. Listen, I mean, that sounds to me like a thing that other people aren't doing. What else is there in Hula which is kind of new and exciting, and how much of it is, you know, implementing what you'd expect to have from a calendar server and an email server?
A lot of it is sort of, and this is actually going back to what we were talking about earlier, one of the things that's really different from a Nivelle integration perspective is that we're really focusing a lot less on the typical use cases you see in calendars and scheduling meetings and boring corporate crap that nobody really cares
right,
about.
Right, okay, cool.
Corporations. So there's going to be a lot of things like sharing individual events, flyers, invitation management without being, you know, sort of really rigid. Stuff, that sort of thing. Simply, what we're focusing on with the calendar is to make it so that it actually acts. You can actually use it with your real life instead of having to post everything on there and use it just this one calendar forever. You can use your current client to talk to Hula and then use the web client when you're out of town.
Yeah, sounds perfect, and
We're really trying to make it work a lot better with your real life than
some of the previous.
Excellent.
There was obviously some discussion when, I mean, I first read about Hoola on Nat's blog, and there was some discussion from Jamie Zawinski about how this is, you know, you should really make software that people care about. And it was as if this kind of idea behind Hoola was going to be, you know, something that people are going to basically say, okay, I'm going to have sex on Saturday evening, so I'll add it to my Hoola diary sort of thing. I mean, is it, do you think it can really sort of affect people so they can organise, I don't know, sleepovers or whatever, you know? I mean, do you think it can really work?
Well, you know, obviously, we hope it does.
I'm expecting you do as your Hoola developers, to be honest.
Yeah,
so.
You know, we've actually sat down a lot and, you know, thought, you know, about what prevents us from using calendars.
Sure, yeah.
And what, you know, what prevents us from wanting to. And so we're trying to build a lot of stuff out of that. Joe's been kind of... Yeah, I've definitely, as far as the web client goes, obviously I've focused on ease of use. Just be able to create a new event quickly, only a couple clicks, and you're all set. And you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah,
right.
If you want a reminder, you know, set up that in a practical fashion. And more concretely, you know, the reason nobody uses calendars for this sort of thing is that you can't take any calendar client that I'm aware of and really like plan a party around it.
Right.
Is, yeah. You know, where you are going to get laid is at these parties. And you know, like there's a lot of information that can go into a party. Just like I said, this is where we come up with a flyer thing. Invitation management, publication, and then, you know, using that to sort of give directions, attach maps, that sort of thing,
okay.
And just sort of have a single URL that you can point people to that'll have all the information they need about how to get there,
sure.
What to bring,
that
sort of
good.
Stuff. All that managing stuff you usually do with parties over email or just telling people that is kind of a pain.
Well, it seems to me that one of the big problems with current kind of systems for managing information and things such as mailing list management software like you know, Mailman and things like that is that it's just such a bitch to set up. I mean, email servers in themselves are a bitch to set up, and so is Mailman. Is Hoola going to be a case of where you can literally just say, this is my domain, this is the mailing list I want, just do it?
Well, there's two parts to that. First of all, we are going to be running a live Hoola server that's going to actually host a pre-installed Hoola, so if you're really just a casual user that wants just an account, we're going to have a place for you to go with that.
Right.
And the other thing is that, you know, one of our main things has been to try and keep it as absolutely easy to install and set up as possible. Obviously, it's going to be a little harder than, you know, a desktop app because it's
yeah,
a server
sure,
and you
sure,
have
yeah.
to, you know, have root and all this other stuff to run it. But for the most part, it, you know, our goal is to be one of the easiest to install servers that you have for basically the reason you're...
Okay,
right,
just talking about the back end of the mail server now, obviously you're aiming at a sort of enterprise-ish kind of market. How well does this scale? I mean, how easy would it be to get maybe two mail servers talking to each other within the same domain? Maybe you've got a mail server on one site and a mail server on the other site. You might want to move a mailbox from one site to another. I mean, does Hoola fit in at this level, or is it...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Hoola, like you know, you probably read, is based on Netmail,
right.
Which is actually designed and implemented around scalability.
Cool.
To the point where, I mean, it's all the, you know, the back-end servers is actually surrounded around what we call the Nmap server, which manages your data store.
Yep.
And you can have any number of those on any number of machines.
Not that Nmap.
And then,
I was just thinking Nmap.
Yeah, not like Nmap for scanning people's machines.
No, yeah.
That really confused me when I first installed
that
it.
That confuses a lot of people, and yeah. Unfortunate naming.
Sorry.
But anyway, so we have a bunch of those servers. You know, so those servers can distribute around as much as you want, basically. And you know, it's. I mean, we have like I don't know if you guys have heard about My Real Box, but it's basically a box that runs Hoola,
sorry,
it runs Netmail actually, and it hosts something like 200,000 user accounts that access at about I think 30 or 40% concurrency. So there's, you know, there's 80,000 people running on any given time.
Okay, but how easy is it to set up that kind of relationship between the servers? Is it fairly straightforward, or...?
It's pretty simple in the web administration. You basically just, you tell it where you want the servers to run, and as long as they have the software installed, you basically just have to tell it. For each user, you have to point it where they're going to be stored, you know, which of these machines.
Okay.
And then you just have...
you know, fail over or whatever, all that other stuff. So it's fairly easy. I've never set it up personally, which is kind of lame of me, but it's pretty simple overall.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Moving away from AIDS, very, very boring, I'm a system administrator questions. If you've got guys who've heard about Hoola, they know it's kind of a male thing and a calendar thing, but don't know a lot about it, what would you say to them to get them interested?
Oh, man, that's a good question. yeah, I'm a desktop guy, so it is actually hard to interest a desktop kind of guy in this sort of stuff. But what got me interested is that...
you're going to get laid if you write it, is that right?
Well, you know, that helps. the interesting thing is that it's sort of rare to find a server that's, you know, actually designed for users. Servers tend to be designed for administrators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, I think we sort of, us user-based people kind of get on the nerves of the original Netmail authors that have been designing for scalability and speed their whole lives and working along telling it, no, we're designing it for people.
Ouch.
And so, you know, there's, it's sort of, you know, calendars are not a terribly well thought out, you know, space. Like, people have just been doing them the same way we use paper calendars
damn important,
100 years ago. So there's a lot of, you know, interesting stuff to sort of think about and implement there.
I think it's undecided. Well, what's the word I'm saying? I'm going to put my teeth back in. I think it's completely for sure that this is a really important project. I
Definitely.
Mean, Hoola seems an astonishing achievement so far. Have you guys got any idea when the first kind of stable release is going to be out?
I personally am aiming for a 1.0 of Hoola with this new stuff of the open source Hoola, probably end of August, early September.
Oh wow, that's soon!
And that's going to include the new web interface.
And that's the
new web interface and everything.
Fantastic!
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to have to wrap it up, I'm afraid. Thank you guys for coming on. I mean, keep up the great work. It's
can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
So,
thank you.
At some point in the future, can we give you guys a bell for a quick 5-minute update to see what you're doing?
Sure.
Nice one.
Excellent.
Cheers,
thanks, guys.
Take it easy,
guys.
So the other day, I believe hell froze over, didn't it, Ack?
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, it did, actually. Yeah.
Satan was skating to work.
I was looking at the date thinking, is it April 1st?
Yeah.
Has it actually happened?
And then a pig flew.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, these events did happen the other day.
And what else
Something
happened?
Something else happened, didn't it? Something as equally rare.
It wasn't...
Debbie and Sarge... Was released.
Went to release candidate 47.
Hey, it was actually released.
Is it something like version 3.1 alpha? Because they're that confident.
I think it's actually there. And Fedora Core 4.
Oh yeah, don't forget the Fedora Core 4.
Yeah, let's not forget it.
First distro compiled with GCC 4 throughout.
Really?
Hang on, is it a puck of GCC 4? It's not a Red Hat invented one, not the 2.96 fuck up.
I don't know.
Answer the question. Come on, you were ahead for a second.
We've just said no research. We don't do research.
You see, but last time Red Hat invented their own version of GCC, it fucked up the universe.
Did it?
Yeah. I don't think they've done it this time.
To be honest, I don't think it quite fucked up the universe.
But then again,
I suppose hell didn't freeze over.
Well, no. There's a material alteration, the gravitational constant, when they did it. Seriously.
Does that involve gravitons, did it?
Might have done.
Yeah, they emit gravitons, apparently.
Gravitons. My arse.
I'll tell you another thing, Fedora are actually supporting PowerPC now.
Are they?
So all you...
Why do you care, eh?
All you Mac-type people, such as yourself, Jono, and the Linux Link Tech Show boys, they'll be able to run Fedora on their Mac.
Plus, if you cared, you'd be running Ubuntu already, wouldn't you?
They drink that in the jungle, don't they?
They do. Yeah. So, a couple of things there.
Yeah.
First of all...
They usually are.
Sarge is out! Fucking hell!
Whatever.
Yeah.
We all use Ubuntu now, who gives a shit?
Yeah, it's too late. Too late, man.
People who give a shit about Sarge... Won't be running Ubuntu, because they'll be running nice stable servers that never have to go anywhere near.
Excuse me, stable servers.
I was merely jesting.
We've realised that Debian stable is far, far, far from stable.
Our particular incarnation of Debian stable
is that because you guys are shit then, or because...
Well, I'm not in a position to categorically say that it's Debian's fault, put it that way. It might well be our fault.
Really?
In fact, to be honest...
Are you falling on your sword, I reckon?
sorry.
Vorno's sword.
That's what it's called, Ack.
So,
Ack, you told it was just like sharing man love or something. Like that. In fact, the other day, Kristen Schaller, just as a side point, wrote that he on his blog that he needs to get a tan for Lug Radio Live.
Nice.
And then he said something along the lines of, "But those guys talk about man love all the time."
Maybe I should. That's a bit worrying.
Man love live.
I think maybe John O'Bacon talks about man love all the time.
So yeah. Anyway,
didn't somebody say it's going to break like 30% of the existing Debian distribution systems?
Who was that? Did you research that?
I did research it, and I made a note of it, but I don't have the note.
Did you deliberately not research it so we could talk about it?
So, hang on, bear with me. They reckon that if you've got everyone who's running Debian stable at the moment, if they upgrade to the new Debian stable,
that's a released one. Break.
That's a fucking disaster. Yeah. Why has that happened?
That
totally defeats the point of having sat with your fucking thumb up your arse the last 4 years waiting for a new release of it, doesn't
as
it?
We have. We've had thumbs in place.
You certainly have.
The thing is, though, is the
you're a bit of a two-thumb arse, though, aren't you?
Eh?
It takes two thumbs in your arse.
I thought you said a tooth and arse. It's like some kind of shit pub somewhere. A tooth and arse.
Tooth and arse.
If I could drag you back to the point just for a second.
Yeah, I mean, it is a bit shit because, I mean, we run Debian stable on our server.
I don't know how you can say Debian stable with a straight face.
Debian kind of stable. Should we just fork it and call it Debian kind of stable?
Yeah. No, just put Fedora Core 4 on there.
No.
Get some goodness on there.
No. If we're going to put any goodness on there, we're going to put Ubuntu on there. Yes, and we've talked about this, but by
so it's a server. Do you not think SE Linux is worth putting on there?
No.
No.
Really? Too hard?
Possibly. To be honest, it's mail serving and web serving is too hard for us.
Well, SE Linux is too hard.
Or even turning up regularly.
It's too hard to set up given the return that we'd get from it.
Right.
Which is, say, not a lot. Because if someone owns the box.
Yeah.
We just restore everything for backup and we haven't lost anything. There's
it's a good point.
There's no confidential data on
it. What you mean to say is now we can restore from a backup.
I set the backups up, I've done it. You didn't fucking do it, did you, beard wanker?
Just remind the audience about this, of what happened. We haven't been having to back up for how long? And how long have we known that we haven't been having to back up?
Let's be fair, right? I had an email from Bytemark about probably October or November last year, saying that there's going to be an IP renumbering going on.
Right.
Okay, so I rung up ACK 2 days before New Year's Eve and said, we need to sort this out because it finishes in 2 days. So we met up and we thought, this might be a good time to make backups. So we made this backup. Well, he made this backup script and I just told him what to type in. And
no, you didn't.
And anyway,
so I wasted those 4 days of fucking research then.
At one point, how long after was it? About a month or two, something like that? Basically, the box melted.
Yeah, my backup script was a bit noddy. It didn't back up very much.
Mainly,
it didn't back up anything.
No.
When was the last backup? And it said, like, the 31st of December 2004.
You are missing the point slightly. And the point was
that you're shit.
It didn't back up a large portion. It wasn't intended to back up more than a small portion of the box.
Yeah, no.
The fact that it didn't run either wasn't my fault. It was fucking NFS.
The AFFS, Chris Waddle.
The NFS, Chris Waddle.
Not the AFFS.
The NFS, Chris Waddle, sounds like a racist wing of the AFFS.
It's not the militant wing.
Come on, tell us
why. As if the AFFS aren't fucking militant enough.
Tell us why it wasn't all your fault, then.
No, it's just I obviously don't understand NFS, because it would copy stuff to there, and then the process would just hang.
Okay,
so John said, when did we last do the backup? And I had a look, and there were the last 40 days processes all hung, waiting for NFS to come back. And then we went, okay, this is a problem, and I sat there and meant to do something about it for a week and it didn't happen. Then the box went away.
The box broke, didn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't you manage to dodge the bullet by some miraculous deed?
We did miraculously dodge the bullet.
The thing is,
that never happened. I don't understand that ever happened.
I sat there in front of my colleagues at Open Advantage and readily shit myself when he told me that the last backup, let me just check the date. This date is the 31st of December. And I was thinking, oh my God. Because I'd written some quite large things, like from after the backup date. So
the
thinking,
cat sat all on the mat on my backing door.
Shut up, it's progress. So yeah, so I'm worried that when we move over to the, you know, the new stuff.
No, we've got backups now.
I know we have.
And they work properly, because I test them from time to time.
But it's going to break.
Did you go and buy Veritas?
No.
I'm just joking.
No, I wrote a bash script.
Remember, I'm Windows boy, remember?
Fucking very.
No, you're
fast.
A Windows monkey.
Oh, yeah,
Windows
that's monkey. Right. Yeah. Thanks for all the love on the forums, by the way, guys.
The,
nice.
The kind individuals on the forums. I don't think you're a Windows monkey.
Bollocks to him, I don't care.
Anyway.
Slash me, he does not care.
The reason I wanted to talk about Sarge and Fedora Core 4 coming out and stuff like that is part of the reason I think that Debian Stable took so long to happen is that developers don't run stable. Because they all run unstable. Because yeah. they're not going to sit and wait for stuff.
Who does?
Oh, shut
stop
up!
Hitting my microphone
stand. But
who that, does run stable then?
Presumably people running servers.
Do you know any?
Do us.
Do you know, there you go.
So well, I'll tell you what. Let's survey people in this room and see whether their main server runs stable. Does your main server run Debian stable?
My main server runs Debian stable.
What about you, Behold? No, that's 66% of the server.
That's the same server.
That's because his main server runs Windows XP. Windows monkey.
Hey, I've got a 347-day uptime.
Really?
Yeah.
On Windows XP?
No, Fedora Core 1.
Really?
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I'm on page one of the Uptime Project, uptimeproject.net.
Really? Hang on, just in case I'm missing something here, why is it still running Fedora Core 1?
Because I'm trying to keep my uptime. I can't reboot, can I?
Why not? You can upgrade from...
The kernel?
You can... Oh. Kernel's not a bad
point. Clues in the question, mate. Clues in the question.
Well, no. I mean, I was wondering, because I've upgraded...
Say what you say.
From Debian version to Debian version without rebooting, but I forgot about the kernel. Mm. You can switch to a new kernel or something. Seriously, some guy did a thing that let you do it. I mean, it wasn't...
I'm not doing it this close to a one-year uptime. It's not happening.
Go on, do all that pivot route
shit. Okay, so, hey, what would you rather do? Would you rather just wait and let the uptime continue, or would you rather do something that some guy did? Just happened to write something about... he's fucking shit.
Yeah, after you just talked to me about your fantastic backup scenario.
We do now have a fantastic backup. Unfortunately, much like everything else in life, it takes you to be kicked in the arse once before you actually do something about it.
No, that's true.
Okay.
No one ever learns before the time.
Many times
you know you ought to do something.
Have you actually been kicked up the arse about OG RSS feeds?
No, it hasn't. I don't mean people have whined at me about it. I ignore whiners. Right. Whiners, I'm ignoring you. I'm going to do it at some point. But if it caused us some material harm that we didn't have on backup feeds, like some guy, Mark Shuttleworth comes around the house and goes, here's a check for $1 million. Oh no, but you don't do OG, so there's no free format. RSS feed, take
you'd
the check
be
away.
Doing OG
then there'd
like...
be OG feeds the next day.
Either that or Ralph Giles comes around and like with a big
sword that's on fire,
big lump of wood with a nail in the end. Sort the fucking OG feed.
I'm going to do it at some point.
That's that magic time in the future that no one can predict.
It's going to happen there because Sarge is there. Remember, hell froze over.
No, don't worry, Sam. Don't worry. I will get an erection at some point.
All this fucking stuff that I say I'm going to do happens eventually. The mirror thing happened eventually, didn't it?
Yeah.
It took a while, I admit it. I'm very busy. I don't see you fucking leaping to your feet to do OG stuff, by the way.
That's because I do enough already.
Do nothing.
I fucking do enough. Respect.
No, you used to...
Anyway, weren't you making some point about...
I'm going to diss you now, right? You used to do enough when we'd finished recording the show at 11 o'clock and you'd have it mixed by 5 a.m. the following morning. Now it takes you a week.
That's because I've got, as you would say...
A job!
I had a job beforehand. It's just I had the opportunity to work.
Can I just drag you back to Ak's point about...
No.
Developers not running stable.
Yeah, developers don't run stable versions of distribution.
I think it's a problem.
What?
I think it's a problem.
Why is it a problem?
Because I think primarily, well, for things such as Debian Stable, it's fine in many ways because it's designed designed for servers. But because nobody, I reckon a lot of the bleeding edge Debian people, because they can basically take testing or unstable and fix the problems when they happen. Mm-hmm. It's not too much of a problem. Whereas for stable, the software in there is so fucking old.
I mean,
that they don't have the get go to.
Do you know anyone else who runs stable? Do you actually know anyone?
The Debian people talk a lot about...
No, actually.
Are they like really old?
People run... No. Right. The Debian people talk a lot about how there's this massive install base of stable stuff. I mean, they might be lying a bit in order to make Debian stable look cool, but I don't think they've completely manufactured it.
I don't think we should be running stable anymore.
No.
We've discussed this in the past. Because the software in there is genuinely too old for some of the stuff. I mean, I wanted to put Mambo on there. And our version of PHP is too old.
Which means that if you put a version of PHP in there, which is a new version, it's not packaged. But you either do a backport, which is bad, or you compile your own version, which is bad, and whatever. You know, I mean, the problem is basically that if developers run stable, then they can't fix stuff. because they're running stable and the problem might have been fixed upstream already.
Okay.
But if they're running unstable, then they're not. There's not that much sympathy with the users, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Sun have put out Solaris as open source. As open Solaris.
About 5 million lines of code, I believe.
I actually have read every single one.
Really?
Have you really?
Yeah. Well, they're very interesting.
You know, it's written in C.
Is it?
Yes.
So that must make it better then.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
as an operating system, absolutely.
No, he does. I'm not advocating the writing of kernels in Python.
Hey, I did a bit of Python today.
Well, what would the Python what the Python interpreter run on?
Thin air.
You did some Python?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I personally wrote a 2-window application.
You fucking didn't.
Well, I suppose you physically did the typing.
No, you watched someone attempt to write a 2-window application.
Badly. No, it's good. It just shows how quickly you can throw something together.
Yeah.
I like the help box thing.
What, the about box?
Yeah. Shame that web link isn't clickable, but
I'm sure it's fixed in the next release.
It always is. Everything's always fixed in the next
anyway,
mythical reference.
You were talking about
Solaris. I was talking about Open Solaris. The thing I thought was interesting about this is that up until pretty recently, if you were a Windows guy and you thought, I don't want to use Windows anymore, but I don't want to buy a whole new machine, you got to move to Linux, and that was basically it. I mean, yeah, man, BSD, blah, 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 whatever. But you basically got...
blah, blah, blah.
Whatever.
You're not being dismissive again, are you?
No one cares. I got told off for that in my review at work, being dismissive.
That's because you're a gobshite.
And you went, tell someone who cares.
I went, sorry, not listening.
If you took the king of all gobshites, and he had a particularly gobby day, that's like 1/8 of your fucking personality.
Like a gobshite 1/8 your size.
Anyway, back to the point.
Right, anyway, back to the point. The point was that you could essentially move to Linux, or possibly BSD if you wanted to consider that. But there's been two new entries into the thing. Open Solaris.
Into what
and
thing?
And the
arena.
Yeah, the arena of people wanting to switch away from Linux without buying new hardware. You've got Open Solaris and possibly the Mac moving to x86.
But it might be hooked to specific hooked to Intel hardware.
So, I want to talk about Open Solaris first.
It might be hooked to Intel hardware emulating the PowerPC.
Yeah, it could be. I doubt it, but it could be. The Open Solaris thing.
Yeah. Nice to see some code actually released.
It is good. I wonder whether it would be a good idea to use it. Well, I mean, what's the advantage of using Linux
are you saying
Solaris?
Ditch Linux and start using Solaris?
Well, I'm
don't
curious.
Even suggest it, mate. You'll get a shoe in.
They'll call you a Windows monkey as well.
what are the arguments against doing
aren't
so?
There aren't any. Got to keep using
I haven't used Solaris, so I have no idea what
no.
it's like.
I mean, it's...
Is CD still in it?
Shoot, don't even suggest
it. Oh, no, it comes with
GNOME. You get GNOME and shit on it these days. See, that's the point. It's not this ancient thing. You know, if you were running, well, yeah, but if you were running Open Solaris and you had GNOME on top of it, it would basically be like your ordinary Linux
box. Let me get this right. Solaris is a Unix-based open source operating system.
Yes, open source.
That runs GNOME and GTK applications and
yes.
OpenOffice and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Right, and Linux is the same.
Yes.
Why move? I'm quite happy with Linux.
Well, no, I'm just curious.
The one thing that does attract me, Aid showed me today...
Don't be curious. Don't even suggest it.
Aid showed me today that apparently there's a 7-second boot for Solaris.
Which is cool,
but I'd hope that they'd take that code and put it into Linux.
Yeah, well, they can, because it's been released.
It's open source. Is it open source, or is it CDDL?
I think it's CDDL, I think, but I wouldn't swear to that.
Which is open source.
I mean, it's... Well, the FSF don't think so.
Don't they?
Apparently not. Or they might think that it's open source but not GPL compatible.
Do they think it's not free software, or do they think it's not open source?
I'm not sure. I think the FSF don't give a toss what's free source
read,
and what isn't.
You read it on a blog wall, didn't you?
Blog wall, perhaps.
Blog wall.
Boom, boom. Whacka, whacka. The impression I always got about Solaris was that it's really good for kind of really big Unix iron. They do a lot of stuff like that. But can you walk up to a Solaris x86 box and plug in your digital camera and have hot plug work? Or some kind of Solaris equivalent? The answer is, don't know.
I'm assuming no.
But is anyone going to look? Or are people just going to dismiss it and go, whatever, we don't care about Solaris?
The second thing.
It strikes me that it's more server-based, like you say. And
that's not really true.
Well, it's...
Well, isn't it? That's the point.
But the thing is...
Tell us about it, fount of all wisdom to do with Solaris.
We're not allowed to discuss anything like that.
He's got the hump.
He has got the hump, and it's all your fault.
In addition to his normal
listeners
hump.
Who had a go at him. He's got two humps.
Stereo hump. Anyway, yeah, there's because all of this shit like Project Utopia is obviously being built on the Linux kernel.
Yeah, so it's a fair
and it's specific
and good thing remember.
Stuff. Hey,
that's a good thing. Remember,
it is. Yeah, yeah. And it's been built on top of that. Now, is it? Is there now going to be an effort to put all that to Solaris? I mean, is SysFS going to be
that?
Built
that
into
I don't
Solaris?
Know
because that whole stack should theoretically work once you've got SysFS or a bridge to SysFS. In the kernel,
in place, something like that. Yeah,
but it seems like in many ways it's kind of a step back because there's going to be all that focus on that development again, and there's probably going to be people wanting to fork it because I'm assuming a lot of people use Solaris because they don't necessarily want to use Linux. I'm assuming they don't want to turn Solaris into a Linux type system.
Perhaps. I mean, the flip side. Well,
Solaris
of that,
has been running on 64-bit processors for quite a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean that's exactly the point. So they could
as
be. They
so
could
is
be,
Linux, hasn't it?
It runs, well, I mean, yeah, but it's one of these kind of yeah, it runs, but you got to compile your own kernel a bit, and some applications don't work a bit.
You can get
and
like
that sort of
SUSE
thing.
And Red Hat for 64-bit processors.
It doesn't do everything though.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know anything about it.
I've seen a few people say things
research.
Like,
no.
You know, I tried to do this and it didn't work on my 64-bit processor. But yeah, I agree that you might need, you know, you might think it's worthwhile to port SysFS to Solaris. But on the other hand, Solaris could have some stuff in it that Linux hasn't currently got and are working towards.
I know this sounds quite...
I mean, is there a kind of an iNotify thing, for example?
Don't know. I mean,
you know, if there is, then maybe
that
would be
like
an advantage.
iNotify.
iNotify lets you watch directories and files, and then you get notified if they change.
Tripwire.
No. This is on fly, not Tripwire. You go away and scan all your files afterwards.
Right.
It's for file managers and stuff like that, so they can know to update the window that they're showing.
Well, Beagle used to use it. I think it's been actually ported away from iNotify now.
Oh no, Beagle still. I was reading about it today.
Really?
Beagle will still use the iNotify interface. The point is that a lot of places haven't got iNotify working properly. It doesn't work in Hori properly, for example. It might well work in Core 4, but
why doesn't it work in Hori?
It's
in the kernel in Hori.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem to work very... I don't think they've flashed out all the bugs in it, and sometimes it just hangs things.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. It's not a very stable kind of a thingy. Anyway, so you've got OpenSlice, and then you've got the Mac moving to x86, which you think is going to... be locked down to the hardware you buy it on and nothing
else.
Well,
the Gartner group suggested that it might be locked down using that little chip thing.
What little chip thing?
I don't even remember.
I think personally that...
I went to read the report and I couldn't get to it, so...
If they release it as a general purpose operating system, I don't think it'll really make that much of a difference.
It will be locked.
Because I think the reason...
You can bet it.
But even if they don't, let's make an assumption for the moment that it doesn't. I think it is more likely that it won't. I think it's more likely
let's
that
Let's pretend
it...
something that isn't true is true.
Sure.
Okay.
Let's keep going on the foot. So imagine that it's available as a general purpose operating system. I think the reason why people buy Macs isn't necessarily so much for the operating system. I think they mainly buy it for the hardware.
It's shiny.
It's shiny. It looks good. Everything's really pretty. It's for people who, in many ways, I think this is a sweeping generalisation, so it only applies to
certain
people.
I'm no grade, yeah.
I know. I'm as surprised as you are. But I think...
which is to say, not at all surprised.
I think that...
What you're trying to say is form over functionality.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it's going to affect Linux that much.
And as you say, it's likely to be locked down to Mac hardware anyway. At least, I mean, that would make sense from Apple's point of view, because I mean, they don't have to write drivers for every piece of shit hardware out there.
Yeah.
Like the Windows people have to, not the Linux people.
I mean, I never thought of that. It's going to take a real step back in many ways, because there's shitloads of drivers for Linux, there's shitloads of drivers for Windows, but there isn't a shitload of drivers for Mac, surely.
But it doesn't matter if you just take any arbitrary piece of bullshit hardware and plug it into your Macintosh.
Yeah.
The fact that it's running on Intel is basically irrelevant. I don't know why it's been such a big deal.
It's a good
thing.
No,
I don't.
You say it's a good thing if they limit the operating system down to certain hardware then.
That's essentially what they do at the moment.
So you know, for
compatibility,
are you saying
surely,
that's good?
For compatibility it's a good thing, but for choice it's a bad thing, I'd say.
Yeah.
And in the end, no one wins.
For choice it's a bad thing, but on the other hand, if you're a person who values choice, then do you choose a Mac anyway? Don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they're commodity appliance machines, aren't they, essentially?
What does that sentence mean?
That was a fucking load of meaningless bullshit. It's elite bingo.
Fuck off. All right, I'll explain. Commodity, first of all, there's people...
I think we ought to, you know, structure our straw man to achieve a true synergy in this department.
Commodity, they're available, you know, anyone can buy them, they're just normal regular machines.
What old and people appliance. Goes the toilet on?
That's a commode.
Oh, right. Twat. You're such a twat. And appliance. They're more like appliances. It's more like
a
toaster.
Strap-on?
Yeah. You twat. I think we should start a petition to get rid of AIDS.
Yeah, I agree.
Silence is better than AIDS. Well, let's just replace AIDS with silence.
The forums would tend to agree with you.
In fact, everybody, would you please... That's a bit harsh. Everybody, please, send us donations so we can buy... Basically, so we can all record in a different track, and then I can turn AIDS mic off.
Thank you.
Be a bit easier.
So
you only have to ask.
So dragging back to the point slightly...
Was there a point?
You don't think that the Mac on Intel is going to be a particular threat to Linux because they're going for different kinds of...
I think they're basically going for different types of people.
What about Open Solaris? Is no one going to move to it just because there's this big kind of inertia thing? If you're already running Linux, there's no point in moving.
I think on the server it'll be more. It'll be another.
Looking at the target audiences, Apple on Intel. I mean, Apple are aiming at Apple people.
Yep.
So it's not going to affect us.
And anyone who would buy an Apple, a custom Apple x86 box over Linux would have bought a PowerPC over Linux. It doesn't matter that it's on x86.
And in the server market with Solaris, same thing.
Right, we've got a new segment in the show. This is our new regular feature.
You're going to like this.
This is a brilliant segment. This is going to be called Open Source Street Fighting. The basic idea is we're going to pick two open source celebrities and we're going to discuss who would be the best in a street fight. This is classic Lug Radio kind of discussion.
Yeah, this is it.
So this week, we're going to talk, who do you think would win? Are you going to have in the red corner, we're going to have the bearded Meister of Richard Stallman.
Yep.
Not too bad. He's got a pretty mean free software chop.
Yeah, I think so.
And then in the other, in the blue corner, you've got the gun wielding nutcase that is ESR. Not my words. Ack wrote them down.
That's a difficult one.
Eric S. Raymond versus Richard Stallman.
So
Richard M. Stallman.
Yeah, and that stands for motherfucker.
Mean, bad, cold motherfucker.
So, Richard motherfucker Stallman.
So who would win?
Eric Satan's ass.
Serious street fight with knives.
Yeah. So, who do you think would win?
Knives?
I don't know. I suppose ESR will bring all his guns.
It's no holes barred. No rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's no one talks about
two men enter, one man leaves.
That's the kind of thing.
The first rule of open source street fighting is no one talks about
open source street fighting.
So, who would win?
Gun wielder.
You think it's going to be ASR?
Raymond.
It's just going to
be... It's got to be Raymond, I'm sorry.
He's just going to put a 44 Magnum.
You get the impression that Raymond would be a much rougher fighter.
I don't want to disappoint you, but right, I might not agree with all Raymond's policies, but he's a pretty tough guy, he's got guns, and Stallman is incapable of real battle. So he's just...
But Stallman, I reckon Stallman, you know, if you shook him up, I think if you got him angry...
Yeah.
If you
he's always bloody angry. More angry than Matt is all the time.
If you gaffer taped him to a Windows 2000 box, I reckon he'd break those chains.
Give him a few Chinese burns.
Yeah, a few Chinese... I reckon he'd fight like a good one.
He'd do his best.
He'd come out screaming. Nah.
But gun-wielding.
ESR would kick ass and take names all the way up and down the street and back again.
Who do you think, if they were going to tag team... With someone, who do you think you'd pick to tag team with them?
Well, you'd pick Mike Tyson, wouldn't you?
Or
some guy with an M16.
This is open source.
Or the Una Bomber or something.
Mr. Miyagi.
Mr. Miyagi.
And as my open source thing, I have Jean-Claude Van Damme, who I'll be getting to contribute to Gnome tomorrow.
That's not allowed in the rules, John. It's not a tag match.
No, okay.
Tag match.
So you think that ESR is going to win?
It's got to be ESR. With his droopy 70s porn moustache.
That wouldn't help him in this situation, though.
I don't know.
What, you fear the moustache?
I fear the moustache.
To be honest, it's like, fighting's like magic. It's all about misdirection.
Here comes the John O wisdom.
It's all about misdirection.
It's not all about misdirection. It's all about standing 50 feet away from the other guy and shooting him in the head with a fucking...
The misdirection,
bludgeoning him to death.
You'd look at that moustache and you'd be distracted, possibly.
Aroused, maybe.
See, there's going to be a slight amount of, facial hair attack. Because if you punched Richard Stallman in the face, there's a slight amount of padding.
The cushioning of the beard.
Yeah. So you've got to take that into account. I mean, he's...
It's not really going to cushion it against a bullet, though, is it?
Well, no. Although you can see Stallman obtaining a brutality bonus.
Is that where he rips the moustache off?
Are they going to have, special moves? Like, where you hold the button down and they start glowing?
Do you reckon, Stallman can, summon together all the power-free software?
And manifest this enormous gnome. And it just whacked Raymond in the face. That'd be quality. Anyway,
so,
right?
So, yeah, send in your suggestions of who you want to compete against who.
And tell us who you think would win, ESR or Stallman.
Yeah. And when you send in your two, tell us who you think would win out of those two and why.
And why. And also any special moves you think they should have.
If someone wants to set up a page in the wiki, because, you know, we are far too lazy to do that. If someone wants to set up a page on the wiki for tracking who's going to win, because we could then get people to actually log their thoughts in the wiki.
Yeah.
And then we can sort of start building up a leadership board. We build the leadership board and then we can fight people against other people. Oh, it's brilliant.
It'd be quality.
And somebody somewhere who's got a bit of SDL know-how should make a game of this.
They should, do.
They should call it Lug Radio Open Source Street Fighting 2.
Open Source Street
Fighting. The Revenge of Open Source Street Fighting.
This time it's personal.
You have, like, optional weapons and stuff. That'd be
this
excellent.
Time it's open.
But bear in mind, this is not who would win if they were having a console game against one. This is an actual knife fight in a street.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for.
A proper brawl. So, yeah. Cool.
Let us know.
So, it's the end of the show.
Once again.
And so this time I thought, you know what we do this time? I thought we'd do the emails.
Oh my God. You know, that's so different.
Turn up the books.
Hey.
Fantastic.
Just inspirational.
Do you want to kick it off, Mr. B?
Indeed I will.
Go for it.
Okay. Eric Davis has written in. Great show, guys.
Heard
of you from a friend, and I've listened to 3 shows a night regularly for the last few nights. I like the serious talk and the humour.
3 a night.
He's put humour in speech marks. I'm not sure what he means by that. Anyway, he says, I will be mirroring your files as soon as I junk my Gen 2 co-located server. Also, have you heard of this distro called Ubuntu? I hear it's nice. He said, sorry about my American humour. It's 4 a.m. in the morning.
Well, no. Since we're on the subject of slagging off Gen 2, Michael Rogers.
Are we?
Michael Rogers has written in.
Does he?
And he says, I just listened to season 2, episode 16, where you gave Gen 2 a disparaging -15 for its world dominatability, which we
That's
did.
Right.
While I agree with you on the fact that Gen 2 is not likely to surpass the build-it-yourself auto-gyro fad, and I also can see that 99...
Did you say, guy, you're fat?
No. Auto-gyro fat.
And he also concedes that 99 out of 100 people would prefer running through a patch of thistle naked than doing a Gen 2 Stage 1 installation. He points out that you could probably achieve world domination with Emerge, new use, rebuild, conquer, dominate, show no mercy. World. I think probably the Gen 2 people will point out that you've missed out the use flags in that, so...
We're going to get some fucker right in, aren't we?
We are, absolutely. Michael, we're with you, Chief. We're glad you like the show.
Nice one. Thank you very much, Michael. I had an email from Will Thompson. He's asking for a concession. He says, I deserve a concession because not only am I a filthy student, etc.
No!
I know.
No concessions.
More filthy students. But I'm going to be going to a college ball the night before Lug Radio Live. A night of unlimited free alcohol, live music, fairground rides.
Sex.
Unlimited free beer, which is in any way different to unlimited free alcohol. General rowdy post-exam joviality. Unlimited... Anyway, you get the picture. And despite the inevitable exhaustion and massive hangover, I'm going to fight my way up to Lug Radio Live in the morning. So there.
Nice.
I think
that's
Reziak from the forums as well. So thank you very much. You get your concession.
Yes, he gets a concession.
He does. Right,
3 quid
okay,
in.
Excellent. Owen Williams writes in. Love the show, but goddamn, you guys have to shut up once in a while and let someone talk. Stories that should take 5 minutes.
No.
Stories that should take 5 minutes.
Anyway, let's move on to the second
carry on. No, we didn't mean it.
Stories that should take 5 minutes take about 15 minutes because someone keeps interrupting them in a stupid way. Well, it's Lug Radio. Get used to it.
Fucking, we didn't research it.
Mick, Michael Erskine from the Nottingham Pearl Mingers has written in.
The Pearl Mingers.
Suggested a competition at Lug Radio Live, which we should have a tug of war between KDE users and GNOME
users. Sounds a bit rude.
Which I think is quite a cool idea. But his actual good idea, which you'll hear we've at least semi-adopted, was to have representatives of each major distro slug it out.
You mean
we've already heard?
I'm such a cop.
Yep. Yes, you are.
Anyway, moving swiftly on. Michael Erskine suggested that they should have representatives of each major distro slug it out in a bare knuckle cage fight until only one is left standing.
Now, Not entirely different to open source Street Fighter.
Well, absolutely.
It bears an uncanny resemblance.
We love your idea. Unfortunately, we can't think of a way of doing it for real, but we'd love to hear your suggestions about who you think would win.
Fantastic. I have had an email from Sindra Pedersen Bjordal, I think I pronounced that right, saying...
I don't think he thinks you pronounced it right, though. Or possibly it.
In the debate about if we should drop what we have and start over, there's the silly Norwegians, yes, more of them, Sindra says, claiming to be working on something they call Gentoo, with capital NT in the... for fuck's sake. Which is basically...
This isn't real, is it?
With Linux replaced by the Windows NT kernel. I think it's a waste of good people's time, but it's a nice little oddity now, isn't it?
It's not real, is it?
It was an April Fool's joke! Yeah, right. It came out on April 1st!
Yeah, if you send us your address, we'll mail you a clue. So...
Are you distributing Clue to users? Okay, I've got Temasp Chowdhury.
Right. Yep,
that's the best I can do with that one, I'm afraid.
That's right.
Love the show, great stuff. We get a lot of love the shows just recently, aren't we?
Thank you.
Yeah, excellent.
Right. And we're glad you love it, because, you know, we love it too.
So he said...
We love you loving it.
He thought he'd email us after spending an evening upgrading his laptop from Fedora Core 2 to Fedora Core 4 Test 3...
So pleased he's reading
it. Anyway, to cut a long story short...
No, don't cut the fucking long story short. Just read the fucking email.
Let's hear it.
Do you want me to talk about how his Fedora Core 3... Core 4 Test 3 had problems when he logged out of X, making his screen go blank, yeah?
Whinge.
But as anyway, he goes on. To cut a long story short, he installed Ubuntu and lived happily ever after. Is that what you want to hear?
Well, what does he say at the end?
I love you, Jono. Will you have my children?
What does he say at the end?
So let's make it official and declare Ubuntu the winner.
Yes, that's right. Let's make that official.
Thank you very much. What was his name?
Temasp Chowdhury, University of Michigan, Computer Science.
Thank you very much, Temasp Chowdhury.
I've got
the United States of America.
I've got a blokey called Travis Snoozy, which might actually be his real name. I mean, I'm not 100% convinced that anyone's got a surname Snoozy.
Travis Snoozy, he's quite boozy.
He sounds like a Viz character, doesn't he? Anyway, he wants in to talk to us about the year 2038 bug.
Oh.
It was like the year 2000 bug.
But 33 years away.
For those of you who are bored enough to listen for a little bit, Unix stores time as seconds since 1970, and you store it in a 32-bit integer.
And it overflows.
It overflows in 2030. Yeah.
The Linux Think Tech Show guys are talking about this not long ago.
Travis points out, he says, blah, blah, blah. I built my system completely from source. It's Gentoo. So it more or less proves that this issue is kicking around at the lowest of levels, which is... So, there's possibly we need to do something about it. But
he's a Gentoo guy.
Yeah.
Is that because he's concerned that when he starts to compile today, it's going to take until 2038 for it to finish?
Absolutely right. Oh, while I think about it, because he mentioned source there, I want to congratulate Apple on open sourcing WebCore.
Yep.
And WebKit.
Should we give them a round of applause?
Yep, I think so. I don't know if the Bald is going to applaud.
Nice.
The Bald fails to applaud.
No claps.
But I think...
That was a limb-wristed...
It was a bit, wasn't it? I'm sorry.
Do it again properly.
But I think, done, Apple. Thank you very much,
Thank you, Apple.
We like that.
Good stuff. I've had an email from... Well, we've had an email from Matt Manjos. Matt Manjuice, that's right. Saying, I am a dedicated fan and I love the show. It's a great show to listen to and it's great replayability. The content never gets old. Thank you very much. I was looking at the latest episode's tags, wondering why they showed as inconsistent with the rest when I saw that the latest episode has the genre tag of Christian gangster rap. What's all this about?
Yeah, man.
So apparently Matt did that.
That was Matt who decided...
He would have got away with it if it wasn't for those pesky kids.
Matt decided that
DJ
would be...
DJ Godfearer.
Matt decided that would be funny, and to be Frank, he was right. Well done, Matt.
Nice on that.
I've got one here from Stefano Rivera.
Sounds like a porn star.
I know.
Would you like to come and have sex with me?
Hi, guys. Just discovered you at Lug Radio a few weeks ago and love it. It's just like the dinner after our Lug meetings. I listen to it every morning stuck in traffic on the way to uni.
Fantastic.
Right.
Anyway, enough sucking up.
Which Lug's he from, does he say?
His email address ends in .za.net. So I don't think it's local, Johnny.
It's not local.
No. Anyway, says enough sucking up, and he talks about Axe Mirror Script. And I won't bore you with the details, but basically WGET doesn't work.
This is the fucking whiny thing about not escaping it. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. What do you mean, whatever? These are our users. Listeners, even.
Yeah, but whatever.
Drug users.
I ought to do something about it, and
Stefano,
I will.
Thanks for writing in and telling us
you
that.
You ought to do something about a lot of things,
Stefano, I ought to point out that I think if you actually escape it, then it will still work. So if you want to escape and then feel secure in your own mind, then it works.
Slash, or something like that.
No. Right. You escape things in URLs with percentage signs and then the ASCII number.
Oh, that's going
to
be
so
much simpler.
So if you want to do that and then feel happy in your own mind, then that would be fine. I don't know what the percentage fucking sign is for slash. Shut up. Nobody knows that. Pardon me. He probably knows it. you're right and I'm wrong, but whatever. I'll fix it at some point. Much like I'll fix the OGG feed at some point.
Yeah.
And I'll fix the dates in the RSS feed at some point. And, you know, whenever.
That basically means when you can be fucking pull your finger out.
Yeah, that's exactly what it means.
Lazy, fat, ginger bastard.
I don't know. They'll probably release Sarge before that happens.
Yeah, I was thinking the other day, I could have sworn that my mum and dad said you shouldn't take the piss out of fat people, because if you take the piss out of fat people, they burst. So, I'm sorry. I never want to see you burst. So, anyway, I digress. Email from John Atkinson. This is the final one that I've got. Saying he wants a Lug Radio Live concession. Was just wondering if I could get a Lug Radio Live concession. I'm a poor student who will be driving a shitty old metro 100-odd miles from Aberystwyth all the way through Wales with my ginger Welsh mate who has a square head and can't tell
jokes. He's certainly going to get a concession then.
Surely
that must be worth something.
I think actually that if the mate was Welsh or he had a square head, then we'd probably allow it. Because he's got both, I think your mate should pay you the £2. He should pay £7, and then you should pay £3. That seems fair.
I think we're going to have some kind of competition for who's got the best shaped head. Because John Masters has got a round head.
This guy's got a square head.
Is someone going to come up with a triangular head? An oblong head.
Yes, you get a concession, as does the Welsh mate.
Nice. Really? That was generous of you.
I thought so.
Excellent. Cool. Well, that's the end of the emails.
Okay.
Should we move on to Lug Radio Live?
Lug Radio Live? What's that, John?
Guess what? It's happening on Saturday.
Saturday,
the 25th of June.
Saturday.
At the Wolverine Stadium. I know it's not called Wolverine, don't worry.
Twat. Once again. Yes, Wolverhampton Wanderers, Molyneux Football Stadium in the Bangsmack Centre of Wolverhampton.
Do you want to explain what Bang Smack Centre means to Americans?
It's in the middle.
It means slightly north of the centre of.
Just go to Wolverhampton and follow the signs to the Molyneux Stadium.
GPS.
Yeah.
There's a map on the website.
There is.
Google Maps.
We're going to give a quick... First and foremost, we've got two announcements for Lug Radio Live since the last one. First one is that Kevin Carmody, CEO of Linspire, he's going to be coming down.
He is?
Bringing some hairspray.
He's decided to come down at the last minute. He said he wasn't going to come down. He wasn't expecting to do a talk or anything like that. So we've forced him kicking and screaming to go into the masturbate panel.
Right.
So the current panel is shaping up to be something along the lines of Kevin Carmody, Mark Shuttleworth, Bill Thompson, Rufus Pollock, and possibly some other people.
Mark Shuttleworth. You might have heard of him, don't you?
Yeah, you might have heard of him.
Yeah.
He's going to be there.
Bobby, I'm not showing up then.
So let's read out the names, right? These are the people who are going to be talks. I'll run through them quickly.
We've done this last time.
We have, but people might be new. Think about the new people.
Go on then.
Okay, here we go. So we've got Mark Shuttleworth, Kevin Carmody, Ian Bell, Bill Thompson, Gervase Markham, Sarah Ewan, Simon Willison, Andrew Splineboy Lewis, Drew McClellan, Robert Postill, Christian Schaller, John Masters, James Walbank, Colin Watson, and Daniel Barron. They're all going to be talking
non-stop
at Lug Radio Live. Some of them are going to be on the main stage, and some of them are going to be in the Lightning Talks room.
We now have a new room.
This is
for the Lightning Talks.
We've got a separate room for the Lightning Talks.
Ooh,
so it really
look
is,
at us.
And it's headed by MC Sweet.
Yep, with his shiny spangly jacket.
Yeah,
it's your impression, Johnny.
I'm not doing the impression. I'm not doing an impression of him. We've got loads of exhibitors. I'll read these out. We've got Mambo, Debian, Ubuntu, Red Hat, Linspire, CentOS, Scundog, OpenAdvantage, InfoPoint, Bytemark KDE, O'Reilly with a 30%
discount on books. Plenty of Linux desktop packs in supply.
And a Make magazine coming as well.
Ah, do you know I got sent another copy of it the other day? I've got two copies now, if anyone wants to buy it. UK Linux, OpenOffice, Wine, Auto Package and Code Weavers on a single stand. We've got the Chris Waddle. The Spline Boy is going to be there. Do you know he scanned his head the other day?
Yeah, and he's prepared to scan other people's heads now.
Yeah,
too.
Can he still see?
He can see, yeah. So, unfortunately. we've got Clockwork there as well.
Yep.
So,
how many people are Debian sending? They're sending like a bus full of people.
I had an email from a guy saying that apparently there's going to be... He said we've got between 5 and 10, and he puts in the brackets, at the moment.
What?
So... They're bringing... He said that they're...
Can't bring 10 people just around a stand.
Yep,
you can put 10 people behind the stand we're going to give you.
No, we can. We've got more room now. We've got the other room.
Of course we have, yeah.
We've got stacks of room. So bring as many people as you want.
Bring as many people as you want.
Apparently they're bringing a couple of desktop machines and he says, and a stack of laptops. I said the only limitation might be power as there's like one plug socket in the entire room. No, we'll be fine. We'll be fine.
One thing about it, Lug Radio Live is on Saturday, which means you do not have long if you want to send us an idea for a competition to win yourself a copy of Make Magazine.
Yes.
So if you've got an idea for a competition, we should run at Lug Radio Live. Send it off to us. Win a free subscription to Make Magazine.
Yes. So we've got the competitions for the paintball people. Paintball's completely sold out. I think we've already mentioned
that. Don't forget the Biggest Brews competition.
Biggest Brews competition. And as Ace said last time, you're going to probably have to get shot more than once to have a sufficient
in the
brew.
Same place.
Unless you're a limp-wristed, easily bruised individual.
There won't be many of those, considering they're all going to be Linux geeks.
Running around limp-wristedly, sort of mincing from post to post.
Just enough energy to actually pull the trigger.
bear in mind also that if you do happen to run out of paintballs during the day, you can always whip out your knife and have a crack at open source street fighting in the middle of the woods.
Who's coming to the paintball? We haven't actually mentioned who's coming to it.
Ah, because it's a secret.
Is it?
Mm.
Can't we announce some people?
No.
We're going.
I think that's because we haven't
obviously
got
we're going.
Yes, the four of us are going, and other people are going. It's
John Masters is going.
Yes.
Christian Scheller's going. Yeah. Mill Millington and girlfriend are going. They argue a lot, so they're going to shoot each other.
Various people from the Lug are going.
Yes.
Yep.
So it's going to be quite fun.
I wonder how many people will be there hungover at 9:15 in the morning.
Yep. Bear in mind also that for the people who are coming down on Friday night, stay in the hotel. We will see you in 4 days. That's really cool.
It's incredible. Oh, we haven't announced the social plans. These were decided the other day.
Mm. Yeah.
The social plans for Lug Radio Live. On the Friday evening, we're going to meet at about 8 o'clock in the Hogshead in Wolverhampton. There's a nice little beer garden at the back. So meet in there. You'll probably see everybody in there, so just go to where the gaggle of geeks is. On the Saturday, we've got
Lug
Radio.
Is that the name for a collection of geeks? A gaggle.
A gaggle of geeks.
Right.
So we've got Lug Radio Live during the day, obviously, on the Saturday. On the Saturday evening at about...
What time do we start, remember?
We start at 11:30.
Yeah.
11:30.
Yeah, but doors open at 11.
Doors open
maybe
at 11.
Open at 11.
No, doors open at 11. We kick off at 11:30.
Yeah.
So if you arrive definitely at 11:30, there. You'll probably miss the first little bit.
And if you want to arrive there a little bit earlier, you know, I mean, we'll... We're bound to let people in.
We're bound to let people in as long as they help us put tables up.
There's
you still have to pay.
There's that middle sort of area, isn't there, before you actually get into the room.
Oh, yeah,
outside the box.
So you stand outside the box and wait if you turn up early.
So John is used to standing outside the toilets waiting.
I generally tend to loiter around men's kids as often as I can. So I believe it's called.
Turn up, we'll be winding up. Well, we probably won't be out till about 7.
Yeah,
but we've got to be out at 7.
But the actual thing finishes at 5:30, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're chucking you out at 5:30.
Yeah.
So that's going to the last thing of the day is going to be the Lug Radio Live and Unleashed live Lug Radio show. First one in front of an audience, which is going to be pretty awesome.
It's going to be pretty bloody terrifying.
It's a bit nerve wracking, particularly as we haven't actually rehearsed for it. I mean, we don't rehearse for things anyway, but we want to make sure. We want to make sure that the actual sound clips play at the right time. So, anyway, after Lug Radio Live, by 8 o'clock, we're going to meet at the Standard Indian Restaurant, which is on Cleveland Street in Wolverhampton.
Some Indian fodder.
We've booked the entire restaurant. We're going to be all in there. And
hey, look at us.
It's going to be great. There's a special menu, so it's $6.90 or $7.90, depending on what you want.
What's your definition of special, Jono?
Cheap.
Ah, there you go.
Yep. It's a 3-course meal, $6.90 or $7.90, depending on what you eat.
That's not euros, by the way, for our international travellers.
Pounds.
We take no euros.
We don't take funny money. And after that, we are going to be going to the Lug Radio Live party, which is at the Baron's Court Hotel. and that kicks off whenever we go there.
Now, so, you need a tux for that, remember?
Do you?
No.
No, I've just got that. Fuck's sake. And then on the Sunday, 9:30, we all get shot to shit. So,
yep.
The world versus us, basically.
Basically,
no,
yeah.
I'm afraid you might find it the world versus John Marston.
So I think we've tended to business.
Indeed.
Check out the competitions. Send us your entries.
The next show will be post Lug Radio.
And we will see you on Saturday.
See you on Saturday, guys.
See you on Saturday, guys.
Keep it safe.